As long as the conditioned soul accepts the material body and is not freed from the contamination of material enjoyment, and as long as he does not conquer his six enemies and come to the platform of self-realization by awakening his spiritual knowledge, he has to wander among different places and different species of life in this material world. Purport. When one's mind is absorbed in the material conception, he thinks that he belongs to a particular nation, family, country or creed. These are called upadhis, designation. And one has to become free from them, sarvopadhi vinirmuktam. As long as one is not free, he has to continue conditioned life in material existence. The human form of life is meant for cleansing away these misconceptions. If this is not done, one has to repeat the cycle of birth and death and thus suffer all material conditions. Text number 16, translation. The soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulation in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is the effect by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed and enmity. It creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. Purport of text number 16. The mind is the cause of both material bondage and liberation. The impure mind thinks, I am this body. The pure mind knows that he is not the material body. Therefore, the mind is considered to be the root of all material designation. Until the living entity is aloof from the association and contaminations of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, death, disease, illusion, attachment, greed and enmity. In this way, the living entity is conditioned and he suffers material miseries. Text number 17, translation. This uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious, although it is not factually, it is a very strong. It covers the constitutional positions of the soul. O King, please try to conquer his mind by the weapon of service to the lotus speech of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Purport of text number 17. There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered in neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disappointing the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times, just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the Shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictation of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, Ramanda Bhavite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pare Bhakti Lata Bij. When one receives the seal of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the order of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he is freed from service to the mind. Thus ends the Bhakti Vedanta purport of the 5th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Jana Bharata instructs King Raghugana. Om Akyanatiranasya Jnananjanashalakya Chakshurmilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Dhuvetamha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sakitam Dena Bhutale
Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swaha Prakantikam He Krishna Karna Sindho Din Bandho Jagatpate Kopisha Kopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tat Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanusute Devi Pranamani Krishnaprasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prashadai Deshadharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Shikor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So today we are finishing of this beautiful chapter called Gana Bhakti instructs King Ramukula. In the last three verses we just read from this chapter, how beautifully indicating and what is the importance of controlling the mind. How this mind is the root cause of all the material problems. An uncontrolled mind is such a greatest enemy. There is no such great enemy than uncontrolled mind. And this is a verdict of all the Vedic scriptures, no matter what it is. Puranas, Upanishads, words of the sadhus, because they all have to realize how this uncontrolled mind makes us suffer into 8.4 million species of life. No doubt, the remedy is also there, how you can escape from this. If we take the example of the great devotees of the Lord, such as Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself saying, Bhumi apo narovayu kamarva buddhi evacha ahankara idyamne bhinna prakriti ashtadaha. So these five gross material senses and three subtle senses of Arjuna, they are my constituted energy, separately constituted energy, and they are in eight in number. And one of the energy is mind. One of the energy is mind. And that's who is the owner of that senses, of that energy? Lord Himself, because He is claiming it. And if He is the Lord, and He is claiming that energy is mind, then He knows how to control it because He is the owner. But falsely thinking to be the owner of this material world and to be the enjoyer and controller of this material world, we are trying to control that energy. Srila Prabhupada gives an example in Bhagavad Gita how the chariot of the Lord, they were saying, just like the five senses, there were five horses in the chariot, same as we have got five senses cross. And the senses are attached to what? Rings. And the ring is holding by Krishna. And the chariot itself is called a body. And the person who is sitting at the back behind the driver is a soul. So Arjuna is telling all of us and setting an example how he trusted Krishna and how he allowed on the sitting place of intelligence allow Krishna to sit over there. We have our senses and senses are controlled by our mind and mind is controlled by our intelligence and intelligence is controlled by soul. But we are thinking, no, we can do it. We can control the mind. No, it is not. Because Arjuna himself, he said, Chanchal hi maha krishna paramiti parvatram tasya aham nigraha mayo vayur eva sadhishkaram. O Keshava, I am that much capable that I can change the direction of the wind, that much power he has, but I am not able to control the mind. He is such a rascal. This mind is so stubborn, so strong, that I am not able to control. Even I am able to control the wind. So following the footstep of Arjuna, we should allow Lord Krishna to come and sit in our intelligence. Through his instruction, through his pure devotees. When the intelligence, or the seat of intelligence, if we allow Krishna, Krishna will hold the reins, and that rein is mind. And when the reins, he is holding, he is taking the charge of holding the reins in his hand, so the reins are connected to the senses. So he knows how to control the senses, how to control the mind. By following the footsteps of Arjuna and many other acharya, which they have claimed, please don't use your own intelligence because we don't have intelligence. Acharya has said, if you don't have intelligence, borrow the intelligence. Borrow the intelligence from Krishna, from his Vedic scriptures such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or the sages who are following him, pure devotees. There is Atmika, Ekahe Guru Nandana, Bahusha Kahe Anantasta, Bhutteo Vivasanina. Because those devotees, their purpose is one with the Lord. If the purpose is not with the Lord, is one, then we have many branches. We will be jumping like a monkey from one branch to another branch, from one organization to organization, walking up, walking up, walking up. Because mind is tricking us. Why do you want to listen to the person to whom you have never seen in your life? Why do you want to do it? You are capable enough to conquer the whole world. You are so wealthy, you are so handsome, you are so knowledgeable, you are so everything, whatever you name it, of this world. That's how the mind tricks us. And the basic problem, the foundation itself is making us, mind makes us think, yes, we are this body, we are not a spirit soul. That is our basic, that is the ABCD of the spiritual life. That's where the root cause starts. Is. Any yoga process, we just name it, not even Bhakti Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, anything, we just name it. All the yogas, all the paths, they have been recommended to control the mind. To control the mind and the senses. Even though in Ashtanga Yoga, there is a very great importance to control the mind. To control the senses. People say, yes, we are doing meditation, but what are we meditating upon? There are 8 leaps to follow up. There are 8 leaps. First leap, we have to do this, we don't have to do that. Do and announce. 99.9% or 100% of these particular people, they are not able to cross the first step. Shastra says, do this. Shastra says, don't do that. But we hear it, we sit in the satsang, we sit in the class, we read the books, we hear the Vaishnavas, and we go home, we swag it. What is meant to be do, we don't. What is not meant to be done, we do it. And that's where the mind tricks us. You yourself is an acharya. Why do you want to follow another acharya? Make your own way, make your own rules and regulations. Write it down, Peter Vacha. Any name, his name is Vacha. Bhagavad Gita, there are 4 characters are there. Dhritarashtra Vacha, Sanjaya Vacha, yes? Arjuna Vacha, and Krishna Vacha, no.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
It's not as the name is there, Krishna Vacha, it's a Bhagavan Vacha. Because Bhagavan is speaking. The mind belongs to him, that's his energy. If that's his energy, he's telling us, informing us, and making us know that if it's my energy, I tell you how to escape from my energy. So why we are not listening to him? Where is the problem? Give you an example. There is a rich man, maybe across the road, he's got house, he's got big cars, he's got many properties, wives, children, everyone is there. And another person comes and they honor and everything belongs to him. And third person who doesn't have to do with that property, he just comes, he starts doing something, start fixing the car, start fixing the house and this and that, and he messes up. He said, I know what you do with. No, but the actual person who is the owner, he knows what you do in the house, he knows what you do with the car. Because that belongs to him. So Krishna, being compassionate, as your Prabhupada, he is giving that example there very beautifully. There is only one thing that you can escape from the trick of the mind, and the trick is following the instruction of the owner, who is the owner of the mind. He is telling, he is engaged yourself in the service of mind, in the service of my pure devotees. Only by doing that, that is the only remedy. If you will listen to me, there will be no chance that you will listen to the mind. The mind is a matter. And you are a spirit soul. And why do you want and why do you allow a matter to instruct you? You yourself is so powerful. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, text number 66, Lord Himself is sent to Arjuna. The person who is not connected to the Supreme Lord or to Krishna consciousness, he can have neither a steady intelligence or a steady mind. He is not the stage of a steady mind. And the name is given Sthita Pragya Muni. A Sthita Pragya Muni is the one who has controlled his mind in all the situations. Any lamentation come, any fear come, any happiness come, any distress come, anything happens in his life, he just knows it is just a trick of the mind. All the pleasure and distress comes out from the mental concoction. If we are still, if we are strong, if we see this problem or this happiness, whatever in your life, it is coming from one end and going to the other end. And there are many more are waiting to come and go. If we will be lamenting and crying for everything, then there will be no time for us to inquire for the spiritual knowledge. Because all the time we think, yes, this problem or this family member, that job, this country, when it will be taken away from me, there will be nothing else in my life to do it. No, it's not like that. Your life is very temporary. It changes every single second. Every single second. If we are holding to the instruction of the lotus feet of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, that is the only boat that which can save us. Which can save us. Service is the only thing. Following the instructions of the Lord is the only thing which can make us free from the bondage of this material existence. See here in text number 16 in the purport, it's saying the impure mind thinks I am this body and the pure mind thinks I am a spirit soul. Can you see, even though we are practicing for so many years, can we claim that our mind is pure? It takes the role of impure and pure. It sweeps. It depends how much we are following the order of our spiritual master, how much we are connected to Krishna consciousness deeply. Impure mind. What makes impure mind to do what he allows you to do actually, the impure mind, the material activities, which has no relation to the Lord. And when those activities have no relation to the Lord, and the minds which are connected to the five senses, the person thinks, I've got my eyes, I've got my ears, I've got my nose, I've got my tongue, I've got my belly, I've got my genital. These are the only purpose of our life, to satisfy them. And being as a human, how many times have we really satisfied those senses? We try our level best to fulfill them, but are they still happy? They are demanding more and more and more. They are demanding more and more and more. That's why the sages of the Lord has to come and appear. Very beautiful verse in the Chaitanya-charitamrita. It says, Maya Mukta Jivere Nahi Sataha Krishna Jnana Jivere Kripa Kaine Krishna Veda Punana. With the material entanglement, this soul, this living entity has been entangled since the time immemorial. He does not know how to come out of these clutches. So being compassionate upon them, Krishna has given this Veda and Purana. That will help us to come out from this darkness of nuisance. Otherwise, there is no other hope here. And that only will be fulfilled in the association of the devotees. Otherwise, there are many books are available in the bookshops. Because we hear also so author is very popular, so and so book has claimed a 2021 best book selling award. But how much can we learn by our own way? Still, the mind is there. Still, the mind is there. We born in the ignorance. And we want to know everything by our own mind, by our own capability, our own endeavor. It is very, very hard. No, we need a teacher to teach us, a bona fide teacher who himself has learned under the disciplic succession. Otherwise, there is no hope in there. In text of the 16th or 17th, Srila Prabhupada, how the saying, how the sages, they falsely claim, not the sages, but other yogis, spiritual practitioners, they falsely claim, yes, I am fully renounced. I don't have to do anything. I don't have anything to do with my wife, with my husband, with my job, with money. I'm completely renouncing. Premature renunciation is there. And he goes to the forest. But what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the third world? If he goes, he's going along with the six wives. His senses. The main enemy you are thinking, if this world is your enemy, in the form of your relatives, your friends, your properties, your job. No. The real enemy, that you are not leaving behind in the home, in the city. You are taking him away with you. That is mind. And that is the greatest enemy. He will harm you more because when you are alone. If you are in the association of a devotee, mind has no strength to conquer you. Because the devotees are there to protect you always. But if you think, I'm such an advanced devotee, I can go, I can do by my own, and then you can see in the example of Bharat Maharaj, the current pastime, the case study, but we are hating it. No doubt he was a great devotee. And one of the reasons of his fallen was given because he was not in the association. What happened when he fell down? The right trick? You are the proprietor, you are the enjoyer, you are the owner of this poor baby deer. And he's looking at you with a lot of compassion to protect him. Oh Bharat Maharaj, you used to be a great emperor of the great world. What is the point if you just give the shelter of this little animal, insignificant animal? Nothing will happen to your bhakti, to your consciousness. He's not bothering you anyway. You are such a high elevated person. You gave up the whole world. What is dear Gona do to you? But you see how many lifetimes he has to come to that realization, become Jagannatha. Then he can say, no matter whatever happens, because I was thinking I am the protector. No, actually, the Supreme God Sri Hari is the actual protector of every living entity. He is protecting me, he is protecting all the living beings, whether they are in the form of human, animals, birds, aquatics, trees, anything. He is the only one who is giving protection to everybody. But we are thinking, it's our own strength. In my own biceps, on my muscles, I am protecting everybody. Arjuna had the same thought at the end of the Mahabharata war. He had the same thought, same realization and same misconception. He only by my own strength I conquered the whole Kuru dynasty. And what finished? Krishna asked him, Arjuna, could you please get down from the chariot and stand far away? What's the problem? We can go all together. No. You please get down first and I come later. Okay, as you say, Keshava. Then he went down, he far away, and he was watching. As soon as Krishna put his second leg down on the ground, this chariot lost him. And Arjuna was shocked, whole war has finished, everything, and there is no one to attack on us. How come this chariot could, destroy like anything? Krishna says, no, I was there to protect you. There were many celestial weapons, many mantras, many arrows were shooting on you from all the directions, all the 10 directions, up, down, all the directions. But it was me, I was holding them. It was me, I was protecting you. But as soon as war finished, the purpose of the chariot finished, yes, you know. That's why I was just holding them. As soon as you go down, because those celestial weapons has thrown at you, at your chariot, they meant to be won. But I stopped them, I delayed them for a while. So that's where the knowledge comes. That if we really realize, we actually whom do we belong to? Whom all our senses belong to? What Prabhupada is saying in the 17th verse here, in the translation, what is saying? Sanupadhir vinirmuktam tat tatvena nimbalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktir uchyate. Thinking I'm someone's wife, someone's husband, I'm the director of so and so company, I'm American Indian, Chinese, whatever the designation you want to put on, Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Sannyasi, Brahmachari, give up all those false designations. Even though we need them, those Varna Ashrama in the society to have a proper balance and to do our spiritual life in a proper and every way, but still don't become puffed up. They all are material designation. They meant to channelize us to go to the spiritual world. Why do you think we are so and so person? What is the cause? Why do we think we are so bigger than others? Because why asks us to do? Why makes us to think like that? But actually, if that thing has taken away from us, suppose a basic person, or a prime minister, or president of any of the country, you take him, he's so powerful, yeah? As soon as he's on the position, everybody bows down to him, they follow his instruction, whatever he rules, he wants to give to the whole state, the whole country, everybody must avoid them. Yeah? But as soon as he comes out of a position, what's his value? Zero. If you take any previous prime ministers, ask them, okay, I want to sanction this and this rule has to be happened in the state. Doesn't make any sense because he's not in the position. When position was there, he did whatever he wanted, but not anymore. In the same way, if you see even in the bhakti also, somewhere I just read in the lecture very beautifully that if you see ourselves before coming to the Krishna consciousness, our value was zero. Really, our value was completely zero. Whoever our friends, claiming to be our friends, they were only there with us as soon as they have benefited.
any benefit with us or we have any benefit with them. But as soon as we admit Krishna into our life, our value increases. Zero, as Prabhupada said, you have many zeros. If you put one at a point, then there is a value. Then there is a value. Here.
So that's why if you take the instructions of all these case studies here to make us think that life has many more purposes, and one of the greatest purpose is to come out of this material world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, he has recommended, if your mind is tricking you, what you should do? Beat your mind with the shoes, morning, night, before getting up and going to bed. And someone says, how can I beat my mind? You know, people think, how can I beat my mind with the shoes? I try. They say, 1,000 times, I did 1,500. But still it's not working, you know. No, those shoes are considered as a chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When we wake up, we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So that is a hunter, a hunting to the mind. Mind is like a wild animal, like a ferocious animal who wants to eat us, destroy us. To use that hunter to make that wild animal down. Get down, and the night also. Before going to bed, beat the mind with the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And morning, get up, that's why Srila Prabhupada Acharya has given us a daily morning program. Why did you? You're so tired, you did so much service yesterday, you know, you deserve to be honored, you deserve to be sleep. What may happen? You know, if you don't wake up one day in the morning program, nothing will happen. Still you are elevated devotee, you have done so much service to the Lord. They don't know, that's there. Maya needs a slight crack. It's just like the water. Water needs a slight crack just to go through with it. And when it goes, it can split apart. It can split apart. That's why you have to be very, very careful. No matter what happens, should not give a leniency to the mind. Always hold it tightly. Hold it tightly. Not say maybe Bhagavad Gita 3, chapter 3 or 4, he was saying, Arjuna asking, how long should I control the mind? The way he was saying, certainly I will do it, but oh my God, how long do I have to control the mind? Hold it. You know what God says? Till the last breath of your life. Never ever give any small lollipop to the mind. Or mind gives us a lollipop. So much. Little bit. You can be like this. You'll be okay. No, that's what my enemy is. Tricking. Okay. I'll stop here. Let's see if there are any questions, corrections, comments. This one. My turn.
There's no
better way. No, it's not. Yeah, you can speak here.
Like, you speak a lot about the mind and you should never give any chance to mind.
And you give any chance to mind? Yeah.
And then at the same time, Prabhupada said you should be independently thoughtful.
Independently thoughtful, yes. And that independently must be aligned to the instructions of the Lord. The transcendental independent. Transcendental intelligence. We are individual. But that individually thinking to put in the eyes of the Shastra on your face and then think independently. In that sense. Yeah. Because if your service, if your thinking or your plan is to spread the message of the Lord independently, that will be good. Because there are 100 ways to spread the Lord message to all over the world. There are 100 ways, 1,000 ways. Because Lord Himself is unlimited. His services are included, and to spread the message what he is saying to the whole world is also a limited way. So if that is aligned with the Shastra, with the instructions of the Guru, with the blessings of the Vaishnava, then it will be fruitful.
Thank you for the message. My question is that you were talking about the mind and how different. When I was in the body of the deer, I was thinking of Krishna. He said that to the body of Janamaya instead of going back to Krishna.
Because the human birth is the only birth where allows you to go back to Godhead in maturity. In maturity. No doubt, Maharaj Bharat only fall down at the end while thinking, remembering of his dear pet, pet dear. But when he became dear, it was a blessing of the Lord that he was remembering about Krishna. So there are many lessons out there that Prabhupada gives one of the lessons of this pastime, that doesn't matter whichever higher position you are in, you must be careful at all the time. Don't think you are so highly elevated. He was thinking himself, but he fell down. So it's a teaching to all of us, we should not be leniency in our devotional service, and we have to be very strict, especially with the mind, to control it. Otherwise, we can fall down. If this case would not happen, then how are you going to take the lessons from Srimad Bhagavatam? So he got a chance again as a human birth, which he became Charadatta, and from that birth, he went back to Godhead. So there are many lessons to learn from this pastime here. First, we should not be very lenient in our devotional life and follow the instructions of the spiritual master and the Lord very, very strictly.
So you mentioned human life is the only way by which we can go back to Godhead.
Yes.
What about Gajendra? He's able to go, he left his body and so then he's able to go back.
Yeah, but there are many cases there that human form life, though if you read in Canto 3, somewhere in chapter 15, where the demigods are praying to the Lord, please allow us to take birth in the human form, which is the fastest way to go to back to Godhead. Because here we are stuck in a sense enjoyment, we are hardly able to think. The demigods himself are praying to the Lord, please give us a birth on the planet as a human, so we can execute that devotional service very perfectly there.
Maybe it's more easier to do here.
More easier to do here. But is that there's not been an exception to reach the context. There are many, many cases, beautifully that teaches that in Kerala, Guruvaya temple, Keshwan, this elephant, he was also there, devotee of the Lord. And if you read many other stories by the devotees, you can see there was a cow in Malaysia, wherever there is a Srimad Bhagavatam happen, she comes and sits over there. So these are special cases. For some other, somehow that they have been fallen. If you see the king, that elephant, Gajendra, in his previous life, what he was, King Indraguna, such a pious person. But for some small mistake, he took the birth of the Gajendra. But don't forget, at the end of the life, how does he remember that all the prayers when he was praying to the Vishnu? That was the blessings of the Lord. That means Srila Prabhupada writes in those pastimes there, even though a living entity can forget the Lord, the Lord does not forget him. He always gives him the direction that there is a dadami buddhi yogatam yena mam upyantite. Krishna gives you the intelligence to worship him, to come to him. We may forget him, or we have forgotten all our lifetime, but Krishna has not forgotten us. So somehow that he sends his devotee, he comes himself, or whichever way he made an arrangement for us so we can come back.
Exceptions
are there, but not everywhere. Yeah. But the lessons are there, teachings are there. So they encourage us, enthusiasm us to pursue our devotional service very, very nicely. Okay, thank you very much. Nanta Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.